Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of LifeWest, coming at you with another LifeWest Leadership Line. Today, I have two extraordinary doctors in different ends of the country, actually countries, who are doing some phenomenal work with diagnostic imaging. And I'm telling you, you want to listen to this. I don't care what technique you do, or if you don't do a technique that uses X-ray or whatever it might be, just listen, because this technology is incredible. I have Dr. Jeff Shulton. Jeff, welcome. Dr. Jeff is a 2001 graduate of Palmer College of Chiropractic in Davenport. He is in Alberta, Canada. He resides in Calgary. Got a great NUCA practice. He's president of the NUCA foundation, or NUCA, whatever you want to call it.
Organization.
Yeah. I'll say that. Yeah. Yep. And then also I have Dr. Tyler Evan. He's in New Hampshire, and Tyler is president of the Blair Society's 501c6. And he is, both of these gentlemen, he's a 2011 LifeWest grad, doing amazing things, both of these gentlemen, with CBCT. And I do want to share this. About 4 years ago, Jeff, you know, obviously you're an instructor now at LifeWest. You teach an amazing course to our upper quarter. Jeff, you came and talked to me about this probably 3 years before pre-pandemic, right? You know, So probably 3 years ago, 4 years ago. It's just incredible stuff. And we're just on the verge right now of bringing CBCT into LifeWest. Our topic, as I just gave away, is CBCT, cone beam computer tomography. And just stick with us. I'm telling you, this stuff will blow you away, even on just the imagery of what you're going to see and what's there. Let's jump into it, guys. I mean, you guys are pretty much leading the way with CBCT. There's other people in other professions doing amazing things with it. Let's talk about the history, you know, of CBCT. Like, I don't know, did it start with dentists? Yeah, Tyler, yeah. Or Jeff, start.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say that, yeah, the first time I saw CBCT was at a dental conference in 2002. And so I had gone to a dental conference to sort of understand the relationship between the upper neck and the bite. I didn't really understand anything relative to dentistry other than brushing and flossing is really important, and mesial is a term. Yeah, I started working with some dentists that had CBCTs, and the amount of clarity in the image was just so cool. And what I learned was that, you know, computers like CT has been around for a while, right? And there's sort of high def, what's called MDCT, which they go around in kind of a plane, right? Like single slices. It's kind of like taking a flashlight and putting two pieces of tape over it. So you just have a single strip, and then you're looking around the room. So you get a really high dose with that, but computers could start to stitch that together. And that's been around since the 80s. And then around the turn of the century, all of a sudden computers got powerful enough that you could take the tape off the flashlight, go once around, and gather all this information that was really cool for dentists and chiropractors.
Tyler, I want to ask you a question around it. You know, I want to kind of go into, like, you know, the speed and computer stuff like that, because obviously that needs to be there. But Jeff, were you the first one in, we'll just say, the upper cervical world to kind of introduce this after going to this dental, you know, or was it already being talked about in chiropractic?
I don't know anybody else.
Yeah. So you were the first one to kind of throw it in. I mean,
well, there could have been multiple people elsewhere doing stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Nobody's ever done that.
Of course, but you know, yeah, of course. And it's just cool, because I mean, when you see something new like that, it's kind of like, whoa, man, what could we do in chiropractic with this, right? Because the technology is just incredible. Tyler, you know, obviously we didn't have this computer speed back then or whatever, you know, and when you talk about, like, the, you know, just how it relates to chiropractic, right? I'm talking about like the history, you know, share your views on that.
Yeah, well, like Jeff said, I think Jeff definitely beat everybody to the punch. He was working with a dentist early on. And it's if you know the history of evolution or natural selection, there were actually two gentlemen at the same time coming up with similar ideas. And one of them, you know, was the first one to really get word out. And the other guy we don't know anything about. But, you know, Chris Chapman in Utah, he had a machine by 2013 or 2012. He was doing it in 2011. Jay Colwell down in Brazil, he was doing it too, but he was referring out for it through his image, because in Brazil, they can't take pictures. But anyways, it's just amazing technology. And it had its day where it came to fruition that, you know, it entered its way into the chiropractic realm through the dental world. And it had been around for 10 years. And now we have machines that everybody has access to. All the dentists are using it. And by about 2010, you know, it was really starting to be a normal thing for if you go to the dentist, you get a CBCT when you get your dental imaging. So then it kind of crept in. It's like chiropractors look at it and go, oh, wow, we can see the neck with that. Oh, that's 3D. The dose is low. You have it in your room right here and you don't need lead lining. It plugs into the wall. Let's do that. Yeah. So that's kind of how it got started.
Yeah. And when you get, you know, we're going to lead into the safety piece because I really want to go there. But just for our viewers to understand, it's when they, I think the dentists call it panoramic x-rays. Is that what they call it? Or is that the, whatever
well,
they say?
Well, that's one piece of it is the pano. Yeah. That's just this part. Yeah. But
you know, when they sit there and it goes around like this and then comes back, that is pretty much, Jeff, when you were first there, that's pretty much a CBCT, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, what's really cool about it is that that Panax is, I think, a lot more dose. And now all it does, Ron, is it just spins right around their head once.
And it's done.
And that's done.
Yeah. That's how tells you how long it's been since I've been to a dentist, you know. But it is so cool. I mean, it's amazing. Just very briefly, let's touch into the safety, right? You know, because obviously people say, oh, well, my gosh, you got this. And Tyler, you said it, no lead lining, you know, you don't need a 220. So you don't. So it's kind of like, you know, plugs into the wall, right? Talk about dose, you know, like how does it compare? Talk about dose and then tell me about, you know, how it compares to x-ray. Because x-ray is so great, of course. Techniques are always going to, you know, use x-ray. But talk about that. Either one. Jeff?
I'll take it. So, you know, relative to x-ray, there's this challenge in our society relative to their understanding of x-ray exposure. A lot of people are scared of diagnostic imaging. And the part of the reason for that, I think, on one hand, is because of historical issues, of course, where atomic bombs or different exposures. And so people see what happens with that kind of power of radiation exposure. And so, you know, just like too much water, you drown, and too little, you dehydrate. Like there's the right dose of all sorts of things. And, you know, so recently, just this year, there was a study that came out of Toronto by a guy named Cutler on Alzheimer's patients, where he gave them a dose of about a half to one gray. And just so that you get a sense of this, according to that paper, it's about three gray of exposure. That's like if you take a Geiger counter and you put the exposure to it, right? That's called absorbed dose. And that's the amount that they say goes beyond low dose, where you could kind of see some sort of consistent harm to the person. Well, so when we talk about gray, so again, 0.1 to 0.3 was the amount they're giving to these Alzheimer's patients late stage, and they saw big developments in their consciousness, their ability to articulate thoughts, and real changes, which was pretty cool.
Through the dosage?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was 0.1 to 0.3 gray, okay?
Right.
That's what they call low dose kind of exposure. Well, the NUCA series, pre and after, which is an intraprocedural type series, is 0.00352 gray.
Wow. It's non-existent.
So, like, the exposure is, you know, is so low compared to where we talk about any kind of a harm to a person. In fact, in Alberta, based on the Canadian radiologists' guidelines, they've now removed the recommendation for any kind of gonadal shielding, because over the many, many years of x-rays use, you know, since it was developed in 1895 and used by chiropractors, I think 1912 was the first spinographs, right? There's just been no known sort of negative effects of spinal radiography. And the FCLB, our jurisdictional licensing body, just had a correspondence with me on behalf of NUCA, where they clarified that there's absolutely no negative effects known for chiropractic diagnostic imaging with X-ray. And now when you take that and then you take a cervical spine series, okay, so just sticking with this for a second, we're going to just do a quick switch to units. A cervical spine series, the part that kind of stays in the body is 0.1 millisieverts for the whole three series, right? Mm-hmm. Well, a CBCT is 69 microsieverts, right? So 0.07 millisieverts. So when we talk dose, I mean, we're just getting lower and lower and the details going up and up.
Yeah.
So, Tyler?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the way that we achieve that with cone beam CT is kind of in the name. So it's a cone of dose that actually is pulsed. Instead of being that medical CT scanner where it's doing a constant beam in a spiral around the person, so it's a constant beam, massive dose, right? And still, it's low. It's still one millisievert or less for like the head or neck. But with the CBCTs for the head or the neck, we're doing 50 microsieverts, like decimal place 00. You know, it's like very small amounts. And so it's pulsed, it goes around and it builds the image in the computer with the algorithm that existed or started to exist when we had these computers that had this high computing power, like Dr. Schulman was talking about. So that's how it does its job. And it's got all kinds of filtering and they're called bow tie filters and stuff that just keep the image really, really clean. And it has a 90% drop off outside the primary beam. So literally I stand there, push the button and I'm 6 feet away. I don't need to wear any lead lining. The patient doesn't need to wear any, we don't have lead lining in the walls. And the guy that does our radiation requirements and stuff for the state, he's like, yeah, you're fine. It's wow. It's not a big deal.
Wow. Yeah,
but you get 3D out of it, which is incredible.
It is incredible. And, you know, I mean, listen, there's techniques that can use this. I believe, and we're going to show images late, you know, coming up, but I believe that, you know, there'll be techniques that start adopting it other than just, you know, right now the upper cervical world is kind of bringing it in, but it's just amazing. And obviously whether you know what a microsiever and all these other, it doesn't even matter. Really, the bottom line is it's so minuscule. I mean, you know, if you don't have to be shielded, if you don't have to be, separated by a lead wall when you push the button, you know, if there's no lead lining up, I mean, you're basically telling me it's like there's just really the safety is like uber, uber, uber high, right? Which is really incredible when you think about that, right? And then let's talk about the images. Let's talk about the benefits because, you know, I want to share, if you could, let's jump into how does this thing go? How's it flow? You know, like you touched on it, Tyler. You said it was 3D, you know, share with us, you know, I'll ask you some questions about it, but share with us, you know, how this CBCT, you know, cone beam computer tomography, how you see this benefiting, you know, the techniques you do, the chiropractic profession, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I think a 3D is probably a great way to start.
Yeah. Well, if I can go real quick. So I would say the first thing that's amazing for just me as a Blair practitioner was we are trying to get this angle that goes down one maxillary sinus to the opposite lateral mass. And that was a circus game of trying to like shoot through bone and find a hole. And, you know, it was just wild stuff. And it was cool that Dr. Blair came up with that. But all we do is sit the patient there, get their proper natural head position. And we take the scan and you can literally take out rotation, head tilt. You don't have to worry about overhanging occiputs. Like there's all these malformations that we used to have to worry about. We don't have to worry about any of that. I can literally crop out the bone that I don't want and just look at the CCJ or just look at the joint that I want to as an articular, you know, analysis. That's what we do. So that is just incredible. No retakes. Only, you know, maybe minor negative thing, not negative, but just, you know, you're not going to be doing like a lot of flexion extension films. You're not going to be able to take lower body films. With the orthogonal analysis, we now have developed a machine, or we have partnered with a company Plan Mecca, I'll do a little push for them, Plan Mecca in Finland, that can get a full head and neck 30 centimeters up and 30 centimeters across to get a full orthogonal analysis. And we're developing that software, the DizzyWare software, right now with the guys in Finland. And it's just going to be incredible. They're going to be able to push a button and get all the angles that we need for the orthogonal analysis. So that part is really cool. And Jeff, if you want to chime in there.
Oh yeah. It's, you know, I had a CBCT that came to me from a neurosurgeon in Spain, in Barcelona, who chose not to do surgery on a particular patient. And so then they came in to see if our conservative care could help them. And there was rotational componentry to it. There's flexion extension. Like, you could see so much, it's incredible. But the great thing that you had mentioned, Ron, is around different techniques. And one of the things I always like to tell my class at Life West is that it's rare to get a patient without a neck.
Yeah.
You know? So knowing a little bit more about the neck is okay for everybody, all chiropractors. And so sometimes things are really simple and straightforward, and there's gradients of complexity. And so as we get into deeper levels of complexity with the neck, this is another tool that we have to be able to really see. Like, I can picture right now this cortical bone and the overlap that Dr. Blair talked about. And it's clear that it's there. And, you know, what I've been telling Nuka for a long time, and what Tyler and I talk about, is the idea that a human being has a situation in their neck. Like, it is just a situation. And when Nuka people look at it, or Blair people look at it, and how they look at it is maybe not sensitive to the way another person looks at it. Like, we see different things, yeah, even though it's the same neck. That means we're all still missing things. And so what we have to do is be able to see the big picture. And then once we can see the big picture, we can see how our interventions are affecting that. But before this, you know, taking little slices like Tyler's talking about, now we can look at the entire thing. You know, Gonstead, which I learned in school, says, you know, as the atlas rotates forward on one side, it gets wider. So the anterior rotation is on the side of the wider lateral mass, right?
Right.
So one of the things you could do with a CBCT is you can actually take the atlas plane line tilt, and you can line it up there. You could take the rotation, and then you could take it in the third dimension, and you could line your atlas plane line up in three dimensions and see exactly how that is articulated. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. And do you guys see that? Well, first of all, I wanted to just kind of clarify one thing. When you're looking at a CBCT, as you both just kind of talked about, you could do the paths, you know, whatever it might be, right? However the machine, you know, works, right? Which takes how long? For like a
less than a minute, I'll say that.
Less than a minute. Okay. And then once you have the image, there's no retakes is what I'm hearing. You have the image, then you can manipulate the image. Tyler, you talked about, I can get rid of this bone, or there might be an artifact, whatever. I can get rid of it and see beyond it. And you could do all that just from the computer, right? You don't have to, like, there's no retakes. There's no nothing like that. That is incredible. I mean, it's just, and Jeff, what you just said, you know, like about Gonstead, you know, and they've been, I mean, Clarence Gonstead put a ton of work into X-ray analysis, obviously, because, you know, the Gonstead is off of X-ray analysis. CBCT is just proving what we have seen before. But what I'm hearing is we can become even more accurate with it and know that you know that you know, because you're looking at it in 3D. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's exactly it.
It's like, it's just incredible. I mean, it's freaking incredible. And, you know, you talk about the 3D, when we start talking about it, we talked about the speed, less than a minute. I mean, it's unheard of, you know. Share with me other benefits, like, you know, share with me some cases, and we're going to pop them up on the screen. Just something that you've seen that we can show our viewers of what they're looking at. Okay. Tyler, I'll start with you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we have some great cases that, you know, a patient comes in, they have headaches and neck pain. Okay. You go and take an X-ray of them. You take a CBCT. They don't have an atlas. They have a giant C2 and then some weird joint up on one side. So what are you going to get on? right? Like if you didn't take imaging specifically, but CBCT in that 3D, we can move that around and really analyze it in 3D. It's a weird joint. Or there's what we call accessory articulations, where there's a massive bone that comes up off the regular lateral masses and then attaches up off the TP into the skull. You never would have seen that on an X-ray. And you're pushing on the right-hand side because it feels tight or stiff. Well, yeah, it's because there's a bone growth there sticking it to the skull. You might have to take it from the other side or, you know, and change your analysis, right? So there's a lot of these weird little anomalies that pop up and we never would have seen it with X-ray.
Right, right. So you're actually, the view that you're getting is like, you know, kind of like Superman, right? You can kind of look in and just with laser eyes and be able to see all these things happening. It's phenomenal. Jeff, talk about some, well, give me a case.
Well, just to build on that a little bit, I had a patient who had failed nuclear chiropractic care with another practitioner and didn't have appropriate results. And then I had spoken to a group who, another practitioner had sent her my way. And, you know, she had Klippel feel, like she had so much fusion, but she had fallen. And after she had fallen, all of a sudden she had started to have these severe symptoms, migraines, dizziness, different things. And, you know, she had been through the gamut and they couldn't really figure it out. And so to be able to get in there and really look and to say, well, if she damaged something, what did she damage? What in all of this fused sort of amalgamation of bone here, what is still mobile and where might we be able to intervene? And then we did intervene and immediately made a huge impact for her, right? So again, how we work chiropractically is just trying to figure out a reasonable hypothesis about what we're trying to do. And then we try it and then we get to see and we do these trials of care. And so I think whether it's a missing atlas or an atlas that's there but joined in multiple places to multiple bones and missing a half C2, you know, these things, it's incredible what we can see and how we can work on cases that we would have never been able to consider working on before.
Yeah. And when you look at the, like you talked about articulations, right? You know, the person came in fused, right? And obviously these are not motion pictures, right? I mean, these are the patient is static, right? And as the CBCT is doing a scan, you know, how do you see the what are you seeing with the articulations?
Well, so for me, it's the cortical bone. So you can see the cortical bone, you can see the overlap. So as an example, if you think about the first vertebra, we go back to that Gonstead concept what I'm talking about, where you have an anterior rotation on the right, let's say. So that's one dimension of six potential dimensions. So what's happening with the translation? Did it also translate forward or did it translate backwards? Where did it pivot? Did it pivot on the left or did it pivot on the odontoid process? All of those things, when you start looking at the cortical bone between C2, C1, and occiput, you can start to derive basically theory around what's happened here and where your normals are and where this person might be existing and how you can correlate it clinically to determine that this is probably a likely intervention that I need. So it's just taking it from levels of, you know, sort of just palpating and trying to figure it out that way to being able to see it with X-ray in two dimensions on different angles to being able to see it in 3D and then turn it any which way and take pieces away and look in close or look away far.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. It kind of feels like the difference between an iPhone 6 and an iPhone 13, you know, I mean, they're both phones, they both work and they're both great for certain things, but you go to the 13 and the imaging and the stitching and all the things that you can do, you can eliminate someone from a video, you can put them back in, you can shade. It's just, I mean, I love the technology, Jeff.
Ron, you were doing that and you had your hands up. And the way I describe this is that like an X-ray is a shadow and I can work to get the lighting so that my hand can show up really well in that shadow. But a CBCT, you can see all the lines, right? You can see everything about my hand. And so it just creates that level of understanding that's completely different than the shadow distortion that we are constantly contending with on a plain film radiography.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's beautiful. Tyler, anything you want to add to that?
It's great to hear a Nuka doctor talk about articulations and cortical bone. I love it.
Here we go. We're going to get into
what I'll just say real quick is I think that what's going to happen is, you know, BJ Palmer, all the orthogonal docs, Roy Sweat, all of the orthogonal docs over the years, for whatever, I'm nervous, so I'm forgetting everybody's names that
don't
I know.
Worry, but, don't worry.
And the articular full spine docs, like all the people over the years, they would have given their lives to have the ability to see with the push of the button what we can see on a computer screen, manipulate it in real time, and then go and correct it. It is the future of chiropractic. The techniques will evolve from this, where we'll start to see where, you know, this works for this and this works for that. Well, maybe we were not wrong, but just, you know, we can see it a little differently, do something different. New things are going to evolve out of this technology, and this would have blown away our founders.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, we all know this. I mean, if BJ Palmer was alive today, he'd be on top of this, you know, because he was so technologically, you know, astute and trying to move with what he had back in 1922, Jeff, you know, when they did the first chiropractic x-ray, you know, and that kind of, but I think where we need to get to, you know, and I'm sure we'll get there because this is in its infancy right now. I think we can pretty much agree on, right? You know, as far as in the chiropractic profession, it's growing, and I don't think it's going to have to maturate for a long time. I think it's going to go poof. It's just going to kind of explode. To be having CBT centers or different places in towns that chiropractors can then send their people into to get a CBCT scan. But also what's hitting me right now, especially in our master's program that we have of, you know, Masters of Science in Diagnostic Imaging, we have to incorporate this into our radiologists so that they can actually be able to look at something. If there is something funky, and I don't know, you know, because I'm not a CBCT as like you guys are, but, you know, I don't know if there's something that comes up that looks weird, send it off to a radiologist. They might be able to see if the pathologies just kind of blow up that much bigger. I think on the overall level all around, it's just going to be phenomenal.
Well, so I've been advocating for a long time in chiropractic that there's areas that people have to take deep dives in, and we can work together, and we need generalists. And, you know, radiologists are one of those people that chiropractic radiologists, I don't have a CBCT, that I read without my chiropractic radiologist reading that CBCT.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it from a clinical perspective. They're looking at it from a pathological perspective, and together we can bring that forward. And I think that's really important. Now, one piece of advice, and this is a really important piece to anybody that we've gotten excited around this topic. I've done a little bit of talking on the idea that there is such a thing as a stupid question. And I don't want to insult anybody, but there is. And so the stupid question comes when you don't understand actually what you're talking about and you're asking a question about it. So right now, CBCT, although it's coming into Life West and it's coming into a couple of other chiropractic colleges, there's Life West and three others that we know of for sure, and maybe others. Right now, it's not in the core curriculum yet of any of the chiropractic colleges. And so it needs to get into that core curriculum. And maybe you can help us with that, or your team can help us with that, because then the jurisdictional bodies will be better able to understand and license it.
Yeah.
Because without that, we're on the frontier, we're on the edge, and it's been licensed in certain jurisdictions like Florida, it's licensed in, right? So, but Alberta, it's not licensed in yet. So I want to buy one, but I can't buy one until my registrar says it's okay. And my registrar won't say it's okay until it gets into the core curriculum.
Yeah.
So there's still a little bit to do, but if you have any questions, reach out to Tyler and myself, the Upper Cervical Council. That's where Nuka and Blair are intersecting on this topic, is the ICA's Council on Upper Cervical Chiropractic. We're both very involved with that. And that's who is right now pushing this. And we have the most information. So if you want more information, you want to help push it, then get in touch with us. But please don't just get in touch with your jurisdictional body and ask them, because they'll probably say no. And then there's a big battle to get it overturned if they've given you a wrong answer.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to give a shout out to the ICA Upper Cervical Council, because, you know, it's one of the places, and I was just with, you know, Jeff, you couldn't make it because obviously you couldn't get out of Canada, but Tyler and I were just together in Nashville maybe a couple of months ago at the ICA Upper Cervical Council. The beautiful thing about the ICA Upper Cervical Council, and I know, Tyler, you said LifeWest had a big thing with it, and we also, you know, really got it going, you know, when I was vice president of the ICA at the time, and just really, we put a lot of focus on that. it's the place where all the upper cervical groups come together and they just study together. And it's not about what technique I do. It's about upper cervical, right? The cranial cervical joint. And it is so amazing that anybody can do it. You don't have to be upper cervical. I mean, you will learn so much just about it. And I don't care who you are, because I think any Gonstead practitioner or anyone else will tell you that the brainstem, of course, is the most, you know, highly innervated, you know, area of our body, right? So it is beautiful. And Jeff, I love what you said. And I promise you, you know, once we get it on campus, I will work to get this into our core curriculum, because I believe that it should be, especially in our radiology classes. And there are a lot of jurisdictions that say, yeah, it falls under the radiology laws, you know, like in California, it does. We waited forever to try it, and then we realized we just called the radiology department, you know, as a college, and they said, yeah, well, they looked at it and said, yep, falls under it, you know, but everywhere's different, like you said. So don't go until you have the information. Otherwise, it could be dangerous. And I love what you said. And I appreciate both of you guys. We've kind of come to our witching hour. We're going to show images. I do want to talk to both of you about doing a CE class on CBCT. I think it'd be a great thing that we could do. Another way of getting the message out, just general around some of this stuff. But I want to thank both of you for being with me today, being on the LifeWest leadership line, and thank you for the research that you're doing, because this isn't just to benefit Nuka, Blair, Atlas Orthogonal, or anybody else. This is to benefit chiropractic, and more than that, benefit every patient that's out there, right? Benefit humanity. So thank you guys for what you're doing and the time and energy you put in. I want to thank our listeners for being with us today on this LifeWest Leadership Line. There'll be links underneath for Dr. Schulten's office and Dr. Tyler's office, you know, Dr. Jeff's office and Dr. Tyler's office. We'll have a link that you probably already saw that was, you know, ICA for Cervical Council. Please go to those and look at that. You'll be able to reach these two gentlemen if you have questions on that, on anything around what we talked about today. Keep coming back. Keep spreading this. Please share this in your networks. Let people see the technology that we're doing, because it's important as we grow as a profession that we become more and more technologically advanced in what we do, because then we know that we know that we know, and that's what we want to get more refined at, you know, as we grow like that. So thank you to our viewers. Keep loving those people around you. Share this video. And until we come back with you at another Life by LifeWest, which goes every other week, and then this is a LifeWest Leadership Line, which goes every other week, keep coming back to us, listening to what these docs have to say, because they're dropping really phenomenal information, okay? Good. I'll be back with you next week. And I just know that we love and appreciate you, and that keep saving the world through specific chiropractic care. Okay. Talk to you later. And Dr. Schulten, Dr. Jeff, and Dr. Tyler, thank you guys for being with us.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.